Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
Let's get elevated. This is your host, Heather Steppe, co-founder of KC Hemp Company, bringing you all things cannabis to the hustle. Before we welcome our next guest, I want to let you know that today's episode of Startup Hustle is sponsored by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Without further ado, I would love to introduce Nate Ruby of From the Earth Dispensaries and Illicit Gardens Cultivation and Manufacturing. How are you doing, Nate?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. Thanks for coming on. I'm really looking forward to the growth that you've had here in the Missouri market. Let's just dive right in. Why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself, how you got into cannabis and why you've chosen to stick with it?
Yeah. Cannabis has been something I've been interested in literally since like the eighth grade. Eighth grade, and my mom's going to kill me trying to tell this story. But,
sorry, Mom.
Sorry. But I got caught basically trying to sell by her, luckily, before I did anything. She gave me a strict grounding, I would say, for about a month. And during that time, I kind of just was at the library the whole time. I had to stay at school for a couple hours, and I just kind of started researching marijuana. Started finding out there are medicinal benefits to it. And from there, I kind of presented some research to my mom. I was ungrounded later, but I was still in trouble. So from there, it was just always something I was super interested in. After I graduated the University of Kansas, I went to law school at UMKC in Kansas City. And I never really wanted to be a lawyer. I just kind of wanted to pay them to change my mind a little bit.
Yeah.
Everything from business has to kind of do with regulatory and legal at the end of the day.
Right.
So I started trying to campaign with New Approach. Saw that it was coming. They had a law that was about to be passed. So it was about summer of 2018 and trying to work on making sure it gets passed. From there, pretty much just dove into the industry. I wanted to originally just write applications for people. The plan wasn't to get into the business side of it, really. Just something to do to make some income during law school. Mm-hmm. As I was researching, flying all over the country, talking to a lot of people, researching rules, regulations, different states applications, what the graders were looking for, questions they had, and I kind of just developed my own business plan. And about 3 months before applications were due, I just decided to go find five dispensaries, a cultivation property, and manufacturing, and apply for myself as well.
Nice. And that obviously turned out to be pretty lucrative for you.
Yeah. We hit everything that I applied for. So
wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That definitely didn't happen for a lot of people over on the Missouri side who were doing applications.
Yeah, it was, that was probably one of the toughest processes. It was, 12-hour days for 3 months trying to write it, trying to perfect it. What you see in a lot of states is they have these long applications, be hundreds of pages of long, which is actually easier than what Missouri did, where Missouri gave you 500 words per question. So you had to have kind of a unique skill set and a way to tell a story around your business plan, your team, the rules and regulations, answer the question all in 500 words. And it's difficult for people to write what they want to and get that down to those, 500 words. And
yeah, no kidding.
Without my law school education and my legal writing skills, I guarantee there's no way I would have been able to win all those.
I can't even tell a story in 500 words, let alone write for a license for a cannabis company in 500 words. That is absolutely a skill. Well, at least that law degree has, come around to pay off, so you can really hone in.
Yep.
Well, that's awesome. I want to kind of dig into that a little bit. So we've had a lot of people on the show with me for this cannabis series who, their background, very similar to yours. Everybody has a little bit of that passion for the industry and has been touched by the plant in many ways. One thing that I'm excited to talk to you about your operation, your vertical operation is, putting together a team. I recently spoke with Chris Isinghoff. He is from Peak Relief. He's got a couple of dispensaries up north. And I asked him on our show, I said, what's the golden ticket and piece of advice that you could give somebody wanting to get into this industry? And he said, putting together your team. You've got to find a good team. So how did that process go for you? I mean, especially since you kind of decided, I guess, more on the last minute piece, to really apply for all of these licenses. What was your process like in putting together a team?
Chris, I think nailed that right on the head. It is the most difficult part of this business is getting the right team, trying to find their weaknesses, and having another person that can basically counteract that. And finding the different strengths and weaknesses between all these people. We've assembled a great team. My COO, Adam Diltz, he's done amazing. He's from Kansas, went to Blue Valley Northwest High School, and he was out in Vegas and got into the industry just by consulting. From there, led to VP of Operations for Verano Holdings. I got lucky trying to get him. He has two kids, and his wife wanted to move back to Kansas City to be closer to the grandparents. So it worked out really well, but I was trying to get him for a long time, and I got the licenses, and turned out to be a hit. So I was really excited about that. Yeah, and he's brought tremendous people from operators, from nightclub industry, cannabis industry, you name it. He's well connected, and everyone he's brought on our team has just been amazing.
That's awesome. Sounds like a unicorn.
That's exactly what I call him, the unicorn.
That's awesome. We have some work that we're doing over here on the Kansas side to build industry and get legislation passed, and obviously wanting to get into the industry, and the idea of putting a team together just gives me anxiety.
it's very hard. I mean, the hardest thing of this industry, besides the compliance aspect of it and the regulatory, it's people. When you become an entrepreneur, when you start your own business, it's a lot of it is managing people.
Right.
And you got to be able to find a way to motivate everyone differently to get what needs to get done.
Yeah. I currently own my business with my husband, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Talk about dynamics. Just the two of us is great because we can bounce things off of each other in a little bit of a different tone than other business partners probably would be able to. It can make for some really awkward dinners, but it can also make for some really great dinners.
Yes, I actually have my mother. She's actually running our dispensaries.
Oh, awesome.
So she was in retail for, 20 something years, ran pharmacies, ran on my grandpa's pharmacies, all that. So she's well versed in the retail aspect.
So when you got caught in the eighth grade, did she ever think she'd be running dispensaries with you, all these years later?
Yeah. So we actually started watching the show Weeds together.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
So about sophomore year in high school, she's like, oh, I would love to run a dispensary with you one day. And here we are.
Okay, cool. Only took her a couple years.
Yeah, right.
That's awesome. It's been interesting raising kids in this industry. We've got four kids, and two of our oldest are in middle school now. And so, they've got different opinions on the cannabis plant than the majority of the people that they know in their families. So that's been kind of an interesting piece, but I love that you were able to bring your mom in on everything and get her involved with everything that you guys have going on.
Yeah.
So
huge help.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. So let's get into your dispensaries. I'll talk about your cultivation and manufacturing a little bit later, but I want to talk to you about some of the hurdles and just things that you've run into with opening dispensaries, outside of the license application and kind of the nuances of the Missouri industry. What are some other roadblocks you've had with starting a dispensary? I know a ton of people who love cannabis and think, oh, I love it, I'm going to get into business. And it's just not quite that simple.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, first you got to deal with 280E. A lot of people just think this is lucrative industry, but when you're paying 70%, it's not what people think.
Right.
It's very difficult. And just getting the dispensaries open, I mean, I'm 28 years old. Won these when I think I was 26. So, I've never built any projects before. Never built a retail store, stripped it down. So for me, it was, really diving in, architectural work, finding the right engineers, and it comes back down again to the right people.
Right.
So while you got your management team and bud tenders and all of them, but I mean, it goes beyond that to subcontractors, contractors, everything, and making sure that they can put your vision down onto paper and do it properly.
Right.
The health department also originally was, a year to get built out. So here we are with, 1 year to build out five dispensaries.
Mm.
We stuck to that and got them all built out within that 1 year. Not knowing that they're going to give out variances and everything, but we pushed and, there was a lot of sleepless nights trying to figure it all out and get open.
Yeah. Well, entrepreneurship comes with, a sleep disorder, right? That's part of the deal. But yeah. So with your dispensaries, you talk about building out. Did you guys find buildings that you could, transform? Did you build ground up? What did that look like? Because I know a lot of the security risks that you run into with being a cash-based business, kind of dictates a little bit of how you set the inside of your store up, where you can store your flower, where you can store your product. Some states, and I think Missouri is one of them too, where you can't have windows that look inside so people can see the flower and everything. So how'd that work for you guys?
Yeah, so we didn't have to build anything from the ground up. So we did kind of get lucky on that. These were all the locations that I submitted in the application. So during that application process, when you're writing all of that, you're thinking about those things.
Right.
You should be thinking about those things if you want to win. And with that, you kind of basically put the vision onto paper. You knew where the cameras needed to go. You scoped them out. There was some, construction modifications you got to do after to readjust. But for the most part, it's everything I thought about 2 years ago.
Did you already have to own the property or were you able to kind of work with the potential to own that property?
No, I got a great landlord on a couple of those locations. He worked with me and he was able to secure them for me. I didn't have to put any money down on it or anything like that. And he kept them for me. No one, his tenants were going to be leaving at those times. So just one of those great relationships that, you know, I found him and it just happened to work out where the timing was just perfect.
What's finding a landlord who is willing to open up to a cannabis company difficult?
Yes. It, you know, there was a lot of vetting, right?
Yeah.
They wanted to make sure that they were finding the right partner because at the time, everyone's trying to get the same real estate.
Right.
In Kansas City, it's not that big. So everyone's looking at the same landlords that own the same property. So it's another competitive process that, you know, you had to make sure that that landlord was going to pick you.
Yeah. We had a CBD store. We closed it when COVID started, which turned out to be the best thing that could have happened to us going online. But when we opened our business, there was only one other CBD store in the city. And trying to find landlords who would rent out to us was ridiculous. I mean, nobody knew the difference between hemp and marijuana at that point. Nothing in Missouri had started yet. You know, we're kind of newcomers to this industry. And I mean, people would not touch us with a 10-foot pole. We finally found a guy who owned his own building and it was a standalone building. And he didn't care. He just was like, if you're going to pay me, we'll make a deal. It's like, yep. Great. Sounds good.
It's funny how just even over those short, 5 years, just how much it's evolved in Missouri. You know, from, hey, we don't want you as a tenant to now it's a competitive process.
Right. Right. And, you know, I think that I spoke with Clay Stallings with Evolution Magazine recently. And, you know, he said part of his drive for the magazine was breaking down stigmas amongst patients. And that's taken a little bit of time, especially with the older generations. And it's funny to me how quick the stigmas have been broken down for landlords.
Yeah. When, I guess when money is a factor, it's kind of like your landlord. Hey,
yeah.
You gonna pay me? Okay.
Yeah. A little bit different on that aspect.
Yep.
So for your dispensaries, you know, when you're starting a new industry, staffing, you know, you were talking about bud tenders and your subcontractors and whatnot. I mean, is there a process that you guys went through for hiring? Did you train them up or was it people that just kind of already had an innate knowledge of the plant?
I mean, this time last year, I probably had about 10, 15 employees. That's like including management team. We're now up to 250 employees.
Wow.
So it goes quick. And, you know, I think a lot of people have different expectations when they come in, especially at the cultivation side. Where at the end of the day, it is farming.
Right.
And, you know, we keep a clean, sterile environment. And, you know, it's not easy sometimes.
Right. Right. So you got 5 dispensaries. Are they all in the Kansas City area?
Yeah, we have 3 in Kansas City. So one is on Southwest Boulevard next to Ponax.
Okay.
We got one next to the T-Mobile Center downtown.
Okay.
And then one in Brookside off of 62nd and Troost.
Okay.
And then we have one in Raytown.
Okay.
350 Highway, and then one in Independence at the Cracker Neck Shopping Center.
Okay. So all locally, you know, in the metro area.
Yep.
So let's switch over to, you know, and talk a little bit about your cultivation. Are those all here locally in the metro area too?
Yeah. Cultivation is right outside of Independence. So, you know, I wanted to keep everything as local as possible and close together logistically. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember when I was applying, I was so young, I was like 24 at the time. A lot of people in the industry were telling me, oh, you should apply where the zip codes are. Like, you're not going to win in Kansas City. It's too competitive. And I was like, well, now I got something to kind of prove. So
right.
I'm gonna get right here and you're going to have to compete with me.
Yeah.
So it's good. I'm glad I did that. Just be way too hard to manage everything, you know, across the state. Missouri is a big state.
Right.
And, you know, if I was trying to go to St. Louis or Cape Girardeau when our base is here in Kansas City, it would be very difficult.
Yeah. And for those of you listening, I mean, St. Louis is 4 hours from Kansas City, depending on how fast you drive. Yeah. You can hit it in about 3.5. but it's, you know, it's a lot of open road on I-70 heading over there. And, you know, I love that you guys have been able to keep it all local to Kansas City. And I see a big potential for that with your brand and your company as well as Kansas starts to legalize. That's such a unique aspect of these two states and of this industry is you have a major metro area that sits right on the border between two states.
No, you're exactly right. That's also one of the main reasons I was going to Kansas City and sticking there. And, you know, I got that dispensary right off Southwest Boulevard. It's very close to state line on the Kansas side. So we go recreational and it's trying to be able to build that brand presence in another state. You know, Kansas City, as you know, is a very small town. Everyone knows each other to the first degree pretty much.
Right.
It's my hometown. I love it here and I want to, you know, try to make some kind of impact here locally as much as possible.
Yeah, I call it the big little city.
It is, yeah.
I love it here. And people who come to Kansas City or move here, they always say the same thing. They love it here too. It really is a wonderful place. And we're starting to see it be a real nice hub for entrepreneurship here. You know, there's wonderful tech startups here. There is a thriving entrepreneurship community. So people looking to get into business and wanting to build companies have been able to do so fairly successfully in Kansas City with a nice large reach of mentors and programs. I feel like this is a fantastic time to let you know that today's episode of Startup Puzzle is sponsored by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. But back to the cannabis side. So one of the things, I really hate talking about COVID, but I feel like we should because it's such an integral part of everybody's business and everyone's been affected by it. You know, dispensaries were obviously considered essential businesses when the shutdowns were happening. So how did that impact your business as far as patients coming in? Were you guys up and running fully? You know, I know you said you've had a 200 employee shift in the last year. So what did the state of your business look like then and how did that impact you long term?
So when COVID first hit, it was, you know, early 2020, right? We were still building out at that time.
Okay.
So it actually helped us. You know, the world kind of slowed down at the time. It was a little bit more difficult to, you know, get some stuff and equipment in from China and there's some long lead times, but for the most part, it was kind of like a break there. And it was able to, you know, kind of focus, you know, and you weren't really worrying about the small stuff that wasn't important in life anymore. And you could kind of focus your attention elsewhere. And it's difficult, that's for sure. But, you know, with 2021, by the time we opened in January, I can't give any historical numbers on how it did help us or if it didn't help us, but you know, we've done pretty good so far and able to get product into patients' hands consistently. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So as part of your vertical, you're growing and then you're selling what you're growing directly to consumers, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. The goal is, you know, we want to be in every single dispensary. We want to get product into everyone's hands. So we'll sell to my five dispensaries, but you know, we sell to everyone in Kansas City.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So how many locations do you have where you cultivate?
Just one.
Just the one. Okay.
Yep.
How many plants are you growing?
We produce, I think our last harvest going off weight, I think it was about 3,000 pounds wet.
Wow.
Yep.
That's awesome.
So we have another harvest. Yeah, that was yesterday's harvest actually.
That's awesome. So are you hands-on with all of that or are you more of guiding the ship?
Yeah, I let Adam deal with pretty much everything at the grow, him and his team. They've done a fantastic job, but you know, I can't tell the difference between different kind of strains or anything like that myself. So I let the experts handle that.
Yeah, that's where you bring the team in.
Yeah.
So, you know, five dispensaries, a cultivation facility, you know, that's a lot of money. That's you had to do some serious raising of some money for those licenses and to be able to build all of this out. So how did the investment process go for you? And, you know, what were you guys able to raise?
Yeah. So, not going to disclose what we were able to raise, but it was a significant amount of money is what we had to do. And, you know, being so young at the time, I heard thousands of no's. I got hundreds of yeses, but it was difficult. A lot of people, you know, they see the age as a disadvantage. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's not going to be able to get it done. I can't execute. But the investors that did believe in me, thanked them tremendously, because we were able to be one of the first growers and get all five dispensaries open before the majority of the other license holders. Yeah. So, but yeah, it was a difficult process in the beginning. And then, you know, once you get one investor, then their friend wants in, and their friend, and it's kind of like a domino effect. But right. That was one of the hardest things to figure out, was how to raise that money.
Because yeah.
No banking laws are, there pretty much are none for, you know, cannabis space. They can't loan us money. They can't do anything like that, which makes it very difficult for people that don't have access to capital.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, that's one of the big things we've seen too, here on the Kansas side, while we're working with legislation, you know, we'd love to see sensible licensing fees to give everybody just an opportunity. You know, there was some talk about $100,000 fees for licensing. It's like, God dang, like you just completely shut the door on so many people. I mean, raising money is hard. That's definitely something that we've even seen on our side of the business is, and if this is your first time, your first business, your first time trying to find investors and raise money, it's like, where the hell do you start?
Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of like everything, you know, you just got to start.
Right.
And you just have to go. It's, you know, I didn't know how to build out anything. I didn't know, you know, how to run a business, but I knew I could figure it out and just keep going. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, you guys have definitely made some awesome waves over there, and you know, the product that you're putting out and the dispensaries and everything, you really did pull off quite the incredible feat.
Yeah. Like I said, I got a great team, a lot of people behind us, and you know, they're able to pull it off. So, I mean, that comes down all the way from our janitors to our third party contract security companies to our cleaning crews, everything.
Right.
Everyone's amazing and they're all part of this.
So as you were doing your, you know, business applications and whatnot, was there a specific business that you were kind of modeling after, or, you know, what did that process look like as you were putting everything together?
Yeah, a lot of it was taking best practices from, you know, not just the cannabis space, but I mean, you look at places like Amazon, you know, Whole Foods, Apple, anything like that. Seeing what they do, how they run operations, and then making it applicable, you know, to our business, specifically to the marijuana business. You know, there's a lot of great things that other companies do that you can take, it's public knowledge, and apply it to your own business to make it better. So right. I just kind of follow what other successful companies have done in the past, and we strategize ways to make it work for us.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, you're not reinventing the wheel, right?
No. Nope.
Might as well use the resources that you have. I think that's been one of the more difficult mindsets for myself specifically to get into when running our business, even down to just creating content for our website and stuff. It's like, I have to remember, I'm not reinventing the wheel.
Yep.
I just need to make this all work for me and work for my business and get my message across. I mean, sure, there's going to be tons of it out there already, but how can I make this work for my customers, my clients, my business?
Yeah, I think a lot of people kind of, you know, forget that, and they want to make it perfect, right?
Right.
And that's what I always tell a lot of people, my management team. It's like, hey, it's not going to be perfect. Just go for it. It's like, yeah. Hey, you're 90% of the way there. That's good enough. And we can adjust. I mean, yeah. You've got obstacles, you know, shouldn't be your enemy. They should be your friend.
Yeah.
And you got to be constantly readjusting and, you know, figuring out new trends, where it's going, you know, 5 years from now.
Right. So on obstacles, I mean, what are some of the bigger things that you guys have faced with, you know, outside of the application process? What are some walls you've hit?
I mean, a lot of it has to do with hitting timelines, mm-hmm. construction. You know, we were trying to build everything out. We're still building out while we have all of our flowering canopy space at our cultivation site. Our employee area isn't completely finished. So we're starting that project. That might be done another month. And to make them happy. I really want to get that area done. It's going to be really cool for them. But right now, you know, they're all kind of scrambled in a closer corner to get ready. And then you got COVID going on. So you got to get everything right with timing. And, you know, that just doesn't create the best environment. So by giving them that area, it's going to create a way better environment for them. But then you're dealing with compliance constantly with regulatory, IT, technology, shutting down on you, anything like that. That's always a huge problem. And, you know, you are in the legal cannabis industry where people think, you know, it's just money, money, money. And they want to come after you, lawsuits, anything like that. So it's, you know, it's not all sunshine and rainbows, that's for sure. Right. It's a brutal, brutal industry.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's such a hard, I don't know if stigma is the right word, but I'm going to use stigma to kind of overcome, because, you know, you have media and you have all of these industry organizations saying like the legal cannabis industry is going to reach $40 billion by the end of 2025. And so, I mean, people just see dollar signs in their eyeballs, but that is so far from the truth. You know, you were talking about 1080E, you've got serious issues with, you know, taxes and state regulations, compliance. I mean, it's the overhead to run a business in general. I mean, there's so much that goes into it. And yes, there is money to be made in this industry. Absolutely. It's not easy.
It's not. No,
it takes a different breed.
Yeah. Yeah. You just got to keep going with it. And, you know, I understand why people want to give up when they kind of start one of these, especially in a competitive industry like Missouri. But, you know, to me, it's what I've always wanted to do, and we're going to keep going at it. So we have the goal to be the best, and that's what we're going to chase.
Yeah. That passion, that why, is so important, because this industry will chew you up and spit you out and do it again.
Yeah. It will.
100 times. And then it's only Monday.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, it's, you know, we listen to feedback, and you know, there's always some harsh comments, but you know, we learn from those kind of things, and it's like, okay, well, we'll readjust. You know, we got to be listening to the patients at the end of the day.
Right. Yeah, that definitely adds a unique just little cog into building an industry is as a medical industry. You know, you're dealing with patients, you're dealing with people who need this plant, this product to live healthy and happy, fulfilling lives. So one of the things that is interesting to me is the inability to market. It's something we've dealt with on the CBD side. I know it's something that the marijuana medical side is dealing with as well. What are some ways that you guys are getting over that? How are you getting your brand awareness out there and making those sales?
Yeah, we have, you know, the cannabis industry, a lot of it is about culture, right? My team is young. They've all been cannabis users. They've been in the industry. They've been in other industries, such as nightclubs, bars, marketing, all of that. So it's taking what we've done in other industries and applying it here, and trying to get the brands out, you know, sponsorships at concerts, giving away t-shirts, giving away, different kind of, not marijuana product, but like different kind of, you know, non-marijuana products.
Right.
Trying to get those in people's hands. At the end of the day, it's having a good product. You know, if we did all that, we didn't have a good product, no one would want to buy it.
Right.
They wouldn't want to come in. So it's being able to produce the right product that's high quality, that patients love, and then, you know, giving a little more.
Yeah. Yeah. The quality of cannabis products has most certainly changed over the last 10, 12, 15, 20 years. So I imagine that's gotta be a bar that's just constantly being raised and pushed forward.
It is. It's difficult because, you know, everyone looks at THC content, right?
Right.
That is the number one thing you got to look at when you're buying. Now that's the average consumer. So we're trying to shift that focus on education to the terpene profile, especially the medicinal side. We tell you what the terpene's in. We do the extra on our testing. We go ahead and we get that full panel terpene test. We want to make sure people are educated on that because, you know, one of our best-selling strains, Purple Kim, it's not our highest THC content. But the way it interacts with the THC interacts with the terpenes, everyone loves it.
Yeah. And that's something that I think it just is an uneducated. Well, as the industry matures, I think that we're starting to see more of that because you're absolutely correct. I mean, THC content has always been kind of the bar, but really you can have, you know, 5-10% less THC content. But if you've got a high percentage of specific terpenes, well, they interact within your endocannabinoid system and suddenly you're uptaking and the bioavailability of that THC is higher. So it's almost as potent and the effect is even better.
Yeah. I mean, we had one, I think it was like a 15% content. It was a 1-to-1 ratio. And a lot of people just saw it, you know, saw it on the bottle, 15%, and hated it. Well, there was a lot of cancer patients who called me, emailed us, texted me saying that was their favorite strain and we need to produce more of it. But, you know, you'll see people who won't try and they just keep reading that, you know, 15% THC.
Right.
And it's not good, but
right.
It's not always the right thing. And THC, the way, you know, everyone's got a different kind of endocannabinoid system, the way everything interacts within each person's body. So it might be right for someone, isn't right for the other person.
Absolutely. So that's another piece to this whole industry that's so interesting is being able to educate your, you know, bud tenders to be able to educate your patients. Everybody is so different. What works for one isn't going to work for another. But I think that's what makes it so interesting when you're selling products too. It can be frustrating, but it can also be exciting. So do you guys play around with, you know, different strains to see how they sell? Or do you pretty much have like your tried and true that you keep in stock?
Both. So we're going to keep some strains in stock. But pretty much each harvest now, we're trying out different strains, nice. Seeing how it works. And, you know, if it grows well, people love it, then we're going to keep selling it. We want to constantly be bringing on new products to the market. So, you know, people, you know, you can only have the same cake so many times before you want to try something else.
Right. Right. So, you know, with industry growth comes lots of new different types and ways to engage in products. You know, we're seeing dabs and waxes and shatters and edibles and all of this. So as part of your manufacturing facility, are you guys using your product to manufacture these newer, kind of more cutting edge ways of medicating?
Yeah, we actually partnered up with Nick Tanum. You know, he's kind of considered the grandfather of solventless, being able to bring it to market, especially here in the United States. So his solventless extraction techniques are, you know, at the top of the game. And he's here in Missouri. He's going to start helping us on that. We're going to try to introduce that in Missouri. It's, as a new market, it's difficult because what we've noticed is a lot of people, you know, they're not trying the dabs as much as you see in California or in Colorado.
Right.
You know, solventless, it's going to be brand new here for the most part. And you just got to get people educated on it and how it works. It's like in Vegas right now. Vegas has been a market that's been online for several years. They're just now getting the solventless. There's just now a demand for it. So it takes a long time to build that up.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know many patients who are just going to go straight to dabbing.
Yeah, it's so new. And, you know, people want to kind of start with maybe if they haven't tried cannabis in 30, 40 years, they're going to start with smoking because that's what they did back in the day.
Right.
And just trying to work people up to find what's right for them.
So what do you see as the trends of different types of, you know, products that you guys are going to be able to put out? What does the market look like 5, 6, 7 years from now?
I see beverages making a low dose beverages kind of coming up. And we're going to see how that works with Beleaf in St. Louis. They just produced a beer. with, I think it's 5 milligrams in each can.
Wow.
Yeah. So being in a new market like this, it could work when you're introducing that product. You know, you've also seen the beers fail in other states.
Right.
They, you know, produced a giant brewery for marijuana and, you know, no one was buying it at the time. So it's obviously drinking alcohol is different than smoking cannabis. So you're kind of introducing, you know, two different industries into one. But I think people can start hitting it, you know, as more social clubs keep opening up. You know, I don't think anyone's going to want to drink a 100 milligram drink at a social event, but
that sounds like a nightmare.
Right? Am I drink, you know, 5 milligrams in 5 cans, 20, 25 milligrams and be happy.
Right. Yeah. That's really interesting. Beverages.
Yeah. Beverages. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think if it comes federally legal here, you got Canada, you got Mexico, you're kind of turning cannabis into a commodity at this point.
Right.
And it's really going to be the best brands that are going to succeed in that market.
Absolutely. So what is it about your brand and your company that really sets you apart and differentiates you from the competition here locally, but maybe one day nationally?
Yeah, I think to me, you know, our brand is called Illicit Cannabis. And we're trying to basically take back that word. It's the illicit market that you see. I don't believe anyone should be locked up for cannabis. I mean, maybe there's violence involved or a child or something like that. But for the most part, you know, I'm sitting here selling marijuana when there's 40,000 people locked up in prison for it.
Right.
So our brand, you know, we're really trying to take an approach to help people that are in prison, try to get them out. And whether that's by funding their lawyers, we've done a lot of that. You know, my roommate, he was incarcerated in prison. His name is Dante West for 4 years, basically on a false marijuana charge up in Riley County. He was able to get himself out of prison, writing his own motions, got a public defender. And I mean, it was truly amazing and he should never have been locked up. He was in prison, same age as me, sitting there while I was selling marijuana. And that just doesn't sit right with me.
Yeah.
So we really want to try to bring a brand that brings awareness to this kind of issue, because a lot of people just don't know that.
Right.
They just, you know, they don't think 40,000 people are sitting in prison for marijuana. And we want to build that awareness and build that brand until pretty much every prisoner's out. You know, there's not a lot of companies doing it. There's, you know, another one, Rosemary and Jane out in California. They're coming online. They're great with it. Eric Murray is from Kansas. But it's a problem in the industry and it needs to change.
Absolutely. I mean, we have been working with Barry Grissom, who I know you're familiar with as well, over here on the Kansas side, to try to implement some sort of a criminal reform as well, especially once we get the industry up and running. Because just like you said, how can somebody sit here and grow and sell while other people are sitting in prison for 10, 15, 20 years for doing the same damn thing?
Right across the state line.
Right.
It's crazy.
It's insane. So I absolutely love that. So thank you for your work, for doing that and for caring enough and knowing enough and having the wherewithal to, you know, make that happen and including that in part of your brand.
Yeah, we're going to try and you know, only going to improve on it. You know, there's a lot that I wish I could do more, but just at this time, it's, you know, I can't be at every legal hearing. I can't be doing everything, but hopefully one day.
Yeah, so, that's awesome.
That's my ultimate passion.
Awesome. Well, I love it. And I want to thank you for coming on and just chatting with me a little bit about your business and, you know, how you got to where you are and definitely what keeps you driving. Before we go, though, one last thing. If you had a just golden ticket piece of advice, just one thing that you could offer somebody wanting to get into this industry, what would it be?
Start. Do it. I mean, you know, I got a lot of friends that, you know, they got their 9-to-5 jobs. They love it. But, you know, some want to do more. And they're just like, how do you do it? And I was like, just go.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
That's so awesome.
You don't give up. You know, it's the margin of error between failure and success is so small. And it's right. Like, you don't know when you're on that line. If you just keep going, you'll hit it.
Right. Yeah. No. I call it failing forward. That's what we always say. Just fuck up in that direction. You're fine.
Exactly. Yeah. It's, you know, there's been plenty of times it would have been much easier to give up and just say, screw this. I probably could have just sold all my stuff, made a lot of money and been happy. But, you know, that wasn't my end goal.
Yeah. Well, great work. Thank you so much again. I want to remind you guys that today's episode of Startup Hustle is sponsored by FullScale, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. You can find them on Instagram at Startup Hustle Podcast, or check out our YouTube channel where you can find myself and fellow founders talk about the real story of what it takes to build and grow a business. Thank you so much, Nate, and I look forward to chatting with you soon. I will see you guys next Wednesday for more Cannabis in the Hustle.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by FullScale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.